unmasking Halloween, and other myths you may not be comfortable with. This is Father Vazgen. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between Halloween and our lives, between the spiritual, emotional, and looking at life through the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is episode number 595 of The Next Step. I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazgen brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, happy Halloween. Yes, I said it, okay? Priest of the Armenian Church, happy Halloween. In fact, today you're going to hear a few other things that you may not want to hear, or you may be surprised to hear. I've been at this for, 37 years, and since day one, because, I serve here in America, and Halloween is, yes, it is a commercialized feast, and I figured out how to make it work for us as it used to work for us, right? Hallow's Eve. But I'm just like incensed that people are now again hitting it on religious reasons. I'll get to that. There's a few other things coming up. Yes, another United States issue. We have now acknowledged the genocide in our Congress. God bless Adam Schiff. Yeah, God bless him, because I know him personally. I know what a fine man he is, and I know what he's doing. And he represented his constituents by authoring this legislation, and it passed, and we're so happy. But as I shared with you last week, really, I think we lost. We really lost. We lost a bit of ourselves, which is a bigger loss than had we not been acknowledged by the Congress. What does this mean? The Congress has accepted. If you've been living in a cave someplace, you know that most of the countries in the civilized world have acknowledged the Armenian Genocide of 1915. But the United States has not officially done it until this week, when the Congress acknowledged it, okay? In other words, the House of Representatives. By the way, let's see, what other countries would be interested in acknowledging the first genocide of the the 20th century, the Armenian Genocide? Well, it would naturally figure that Israel might want to, right? Considering that they had a Holocaust just 30 years afterwards. And whether Hitler said it or not, we know the sentiments are there. Who, after all, remembers the annihilation of the Armenian people? I mean, it's been one of those slogans that have gone along. You would think that Israel had acknowledged it, but no, they've been silent. They haven't acknowledged it. But we've been on the bandwagon and trying to get people to acknowledge it. And I shared with you last week my concern and why I feel like we have lost. We have lost a piece of ourselves because we let there be a debate as to whether this happened or not. It's unacceptable that anybody would ever put it up for a question, for a debate. But I understand. Politics makes strange bedfellows, and we've got all kinds of strange people in that bed, don't we? And we go along with the flow. Okay, so the Armenian Genocide was acknowledged by the Congress. Let's leave it at that point. I got it off my chest. I shared with you through the years that it doesn't matter if you've been through a genocide, if you're not acting out against a genocide today. The best way to commemorate a genocide is by speaking out against genocide that's happening today in this world. And as you know, we went through Rwanda in just the last 20, 30 years. We went through Rwanda, we saw Bosnia, and we saw what was happening in the world. And the Armenian people have been silent about it. Yes. But we'll remember something that happened 100 years ago. Okay. I'm the first one to do that. I've had my share of loss in my family, but as I shared with you, there is a Christian understanding, and that understanding is that we do not linger in the past, but we take that past and we make it apply to what's going on in the world today. So the best way to commemorate a genocide for me is not to mourn it, but to actually stand up against a genocide today. And I said it. It's out there. Believe it. Take it. Whatever you want to do. And I'm very happy. I really am that the United States of America has come. And as a Congress, remember that wording is special. It's just in the Congress. I'm not content. But anyway, there's a lot of millions of Armenians that are very excited about this, that in the Congress it was passed and it will be remembered. Listen, whether they accept it, whether they remembered it or not, it happened. It's not up for debate. It just is not up for debate. Plain and simple, you don't debate a natural fact. Natural fact.
You got to worry about that now, Lee. Nothing but the better later for the garbage.
What's happening?
Yes, for
natural
sure.
Natural fact.
Listen, I'm really excited because I don't know if you noticed or if it jumped out at you, but this happens to be episode number 595 of The Next Step. And that means in 5 weeks, yeah, we do the math, five weeks, it's episode number 600. Every week we've been coming out with The Next Step, reaching to you. And we have reached episode number 600 in just about a month. Actually, if all goes well, December 5th, that'll be the historic day where an Armenian church podcast has reached number 600. Yeah. I'm excited because, you know, we were one of the pioneers. Not one of the, we were the pioneer. And today we're seeing more and more people get into it and using this medium of communication. Very important and very useful means of communicating. And just yesterday, we sat down with a couple people over at the Western Diocese, actually with Vahe Sarkisian and Aram Musoyan. Aram is the guy who works behind the camera all the time. He's the guy who produces all the videos that I do. And yesterday, we sat down for a podcast type of new video. It was called Ushatrutyan Getron. Yeah, it's going to be in Armenian. We recorded it all in Armenian. It's, for the time being, it's going to be in the Armenian language. Ushatrutyan Getron is the center of attention, or attention center, right? So we talked about, on our first episode, we talked about social media. We talked about electronic means of communication. It was brilliant. It's their idea of finding a means of making not so heavy duty videos. You know, a lot of times when you hear stuff that comes out from the church, it's a little bit weighted, not a little bit, it's overly weighted. And there are places, you know, there are places where you need to sit and engage in theological debate and discussion. And there are other times where you need to talk about the simple language of the people. Think about Jesus's parable of the grain of wheat. Truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single seed. But when it does die, it produces its harvest. It produces many new kernels of wheat, right? A simple metaphor Jesus establishes to explain something very complex. Can he explain what it means to resurrect? Can he explain eternal life? No, but he has given us a means to understand that more complicated concept. And he gives us that parable by he gives us that that analogy of the grain of wheat. And we need to find these simple means of talking. There's a couple reasons for this. First of all, it communicates the idea much to the masses, right? Let's be honest. I don't know how many of you engaged in theological discourse. I've done my share of reading, whether it's Nerses Shnorhali from the ancients or to Karakin the First, Sarkisian in his books. I've done it in the Protestant tradition, whether it's Reinhold Niebuhr, Karl Barth, or Paul Tillich, systematic theology. Wow, systematic theology, can you believe that? There's a system to that theology, and he's outlined it. It's brilliant, brilliant stuff. Does it communicate ideas? Yes, it does, but can it communicate to the masses? Probably not. There's few that would sit through something like that. Now, one of the brilliant people to the African-American community and then later to the world was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, when you follow, there's a really good book. If you get a chance, read it. It's called The Seminarian. It's his upbringing, how he was a seminarian, what were the factors that brought him to the world stage to win that Nobel Prize, to be able to speak and articulate his concerns before the world stage. Dr. Martin Luther King did exactly that. He took these complex ideas of theology and made it relevant by talking to the issues of the day and the time. And that's what we're trying to do with this new program. And I was very honored that they asked me to be on the first one. It should be premiering. I think it's going to be on Pan Armenia Network. It's an Armenian television show. And of course, it will be archived and duplicated on the internet, and probably the best place to find it will be at the Western Diocese website. What is it? WDAC, I think, WDAC, Western Diocese Armenian Church North America, WDACNA.com. How about that? I would check that out. I would definitely check it out. It's a really good, I had fun doing it. And it's about a 20-minute podcast, but it's a podcast that has a video component to it. In other words, if you want to watch it, you can. Not too much action. It's just the three of us sitting there. But if you can, listen to it. And it's a nice exchange of ideas. And of course, as it develops, it's going to bring in a lot of the newer issues that are troubling people and the church needs to address. Perhaps not in the theological heavy-duty way, but rather in a pastoral setting, in a means by which people can understand, people can grasp. So very, very honored to be on the first one of that, and that's coming up, and I'm giving you that little preview today, okay? I think, as you're going to see, this all ties in together. We're going to talk in a few minutes about the entire concept of Halloween. It all ties together about how to convey ideas, how to get a message out. Like, here's a couple things that I always think about. As you know, as we've been developing Armadoxy, this entire concept, there's a few things that we need to accept. If we're either going to accept Jesus Christ as God or as a human being. If he's human being, then, you know, yeah, then all these things fall into he was a nice guy category, okay? But if you accept him as God, then you've got to go global. You've got to go beyond this idea that, you know, he was a Jew in first century Palestine. No, this was the God of universe revealing himself, right? And so it goes beyond ethnicity. That's number one. Number two, the idea that somehow it's a no-no to pick and choose what you want out of Christianity. That, as you start understanding more and more, you realize that's been the story since day one, right? Since day one. I mean, St. Paul didn't even know Jesus. He met him on the road, right? Post-resurrection. Never knew any of the pre-resurrection stories firsthand. He learned from the apostles. And yet St. Paul goes on to basically construct the theology of the Christian church. And it's basically a pick and choose. These are the things that work right now. And based on the circumstances of the day, namely that you're living in that first century Palestine, namely that the group of people you're around are expecting an imminent end, that eschatologically they're just, you know, awakened, their senses are awakened, and the people are waiting for a Messiah and the fulfillment of the Messiah, a very Messiah-conscious time, and everything falls into place, and you pick and choose what's necessary, including the first church, the early church, right? They picked and choose what was to come and become what we call today the Bible, the canon of the Bible. And so today we're 20 centuries away from there, and we say, oh no, you can't pick and choose. You can't be a cafeteria Christian. Sometimes they use the term in terms of the Roman Catholic Church. I think it was coined probably in reference to the Roman Catholic. We had during the 60s and 70s the sexual revolution, and the Roman Catholic Church had come out very strong against birth control, and many people were advocating for birth control and saying that, well, we're Catholic and we say it's okay. Same thing, and then that escalated to, okay, we are Catholic, but we approve of women's right to have abortions, and so on and so on and so on. So they say, okay, cafeteria Catholic. It's the same in Christianity. I mean, turn the channels on your television set, go on the internet, Google evangelism, Google Christianity, Google Orthodoxy, and you've got a wide variety of all people saying we are Christian, and these are the things that we adhere to. And you'll see that there's quite a big difference. And that's what I'm going to be talking in a few minutes when we talk about Halloween. I mean, the way we approach Halloween within the Armenian Church, it's pretty wild, and it's actually pretty disgusting, too. You're going to have to wait. We'll do that in a few minutes. But so this idea of cafeteriaizing Christianity, you've got to understand that we've been doing that all along. And now, finally, I think that I want to bring in a third element to this whole thing. Okay, so the first one being that Jesus Christ is bigger than just a nation. It's global. He's a global presence because we're talking about Creator. We're talking about God of the universe. Number two is the cafeteriaizing. You take the pieces. Okay, you've got to understand that it's been done. So you've got to be conscious of that as you are selecting. Number three, I want to add to it, is 3 years. Have you ever thought about it? Jesus' ministry was 3 years. Have you ever thought that maybe that's a max? That basically in 3 years he had a chance to convey the information that he wanted to convey. He was able to give us what is necessary. Now we have added to that, but maybe we've got to strip it all down and see what was given to us. And I thought about this just the other day because I was in a group of people, and one of the Armenian priests that I was with, he made a mention that we in the Armenian church, priests who are married, do not wear wedding rings because we are united with our entire congregation. And I thought, wow, this is something new. I'm getting a new... I had heard bits and pieces of this, but never articulated this way, that, you know, no, we shun the idea that we are married to just our wife. We are married to the congregation as far as our obligation and our responsibility to that congregation. And just to put it into context, it was a discussion because this priest was feeling the guilt that he wasn't able to give of himself to his family, and the pressures of the church life taking away from the family, something that all priests have experienced because of the time involved, because of the commitment, because of your love for that church. And so he said, and for this reason, we do not wear wedding rings. And I'm going, wait a minute, now what happened here? Where did this come from? Wasn't my wedding ring blessed by the priest who married us, by the bishop who ordained us? Wasn't that a sacrament, a holy sacrament? Isn't that what I believe in? Holy matrimony is one of the seven sacraments, and I participated with my wife together. We participated in this holy sacrament, and we exchanged rings, which were blessed. I never remember anything about taking that ring off. Now, why am I bringing this up? Now, this priest felt good about saying this, and I understand. I understand where he's coming from. He has now developed this as a reaction to, well, okay, I am also committed to my congregation, which is beautiful, but he's now developed another layer on there by talking about the ring. And let me tell you something. In Orthodoxy, in the traditional churches, there's a lot of this. There's a lot of justification for the things we do. For instance, the fans in the church, they're called kushots. The word kushel means to push away. Kushots, those giant fans that you see with the jingles on them during the Divine Liturgy, they were meant to push away the flies. Because in early church, you didn't have windows, you didn't have screens on those windows. You had insects coming to the most sacred of sacred, namely the Holy Eucharist. And they would fan away, and they would use these giant fans to fan away the insects. Okay, now we have advanced. We have windows, we have screens, there are no insects. And if there were, you called the exterminator. And so now we have these giant fans. Now, what do you do with them? Well, you put some jingles on them and you ornament them. And we use them as a percussion device during the Divine Liturgy. Understand that that developed, and it was basically at a point where they could have said, okay, let's just pull them out. Let's not do that. But who knows how it developed? Maybe as they were pushing away the flies one day, somebody put some jingles on that original fan, and it continued. These are the way traditions continue. Jesus' basic message was a simple one about loving one another, about having respect, about living in harmony, about peace on earth. And think about it. He was able to pass along that information to us in 3 years. And I think that there's some magic to that three number, that really it is a three-year ministry that we're called to. And in that 3 years, you meet with those people, you share the information of the gospel, and then it's time to move on. So I just wanted to throw that out, that too is part of that entire Armadoxy equation. And as you see, as I'm sharing it with you, it's really developing. It's developing into what we call Armadoxy. Let's take a break right now. I'm going to come back and we'll talk about Halloween. In a different way. I've talked about it many times, and there'll be links on today's show notes to everything we talk about, including the original Halloween videos, which I'm going to encourage you to watch. They're pretty cool. They go back a few years. But right now I'm going to play for you a very special song. It's called Dunringill. And those of you from the United Kingdom will probably recognize, may or may not recognize this place. It is a point of the ravine in the Iron Age hill fort in a peninsula south of Skye, Scotland. And it's special to me because I heard this song 40 years ago, and it was just re-released in a new pressing and a new mixing by Steve Wilson. And it is just beautiful. And I heard it the other day because it was released, this 40th anniversary album of it. And the harmonies, the words, the melody just clicked with me. Here is Dunringill. And the storm lies join in faint discord, and the storm watch brews a concert of kings as the white sea snaps at the heels of a soft prayer whispered.
Clear light on a slick palm as a misty other day. Slip the night from a shade back make a marked card play. You call twilight hours down from a heaven home. High above the highest bidder for the good Lord's throne. In the wee hours I meet you, and down by the ringing, on we'll watch the old gods play. By the ringing, by the ringing, we'll wait in stone circles until the force comes through. Lights join in faint discord, and the storm watch brews. A concert of kings as the white sea snaps at the heels of a soft rain. In the wee hours I meet you, and down by the ringing, Lord, I'll take you quickly. Oh, by the ringing, by the ringing, by the ringing.
Dunringill by Jethro Tull on the 40th anniversary of the release of that song on the Stormwatch album. Just a beautiful, beautiful album. And the 40th anniversary with the remixes and some very special stuff. I'll have a link on today's show notes if you want to order the entire album or just get some more information. Very special to me because I've told you all along, you know, there is this mix. There is this special celebration between the Armenians, the Scots, the Celtic Church. And I just recently discovered a video about the Celtic Orthodox Church. Yeah, we're going to investigate that, okay? I'm trying to figure out how to get out there. I mean, I listen to duduk music, Armenian duduk music. I listen to Scottish bagpipes. And if you can't hear the connection, then something's off. The zurna and just the beats. Listen to something like Bambir, an Armenian group, and listen to what they're playing. Especially, they've done some really, really good fusion with Celtic music. Anyway, that's another time, okay? I promised you long time ago, and I've just got to find some time to get out there and to really do some exploration. I'm very fascinated by all this, but for today, I wanted to share with you this beautiful tune that has had a very special spot in my life, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. Oh, those monsters, monsters, Frankensteins, vampires, werewolves, scary skeletons, and so many devil costumes that we happen to see on this Halloween feast. It is Halloween, and that does not escape us that today, as we are recording, happens to be the 31st of October, a very special day, because in Armenian tradition, we have Darelits, which is the passing, the annual remembrance of the passing of someone, and this happens to be the Darelits of Harry Houdini. No. I'm not going to make the connection, the Armenian connection with Harry Houdini. But as you know, Harry Houdini spent the last years of his life debunking a lot of these psychics and these people who would connect with the world to come, with another world. And he passed away on Halloween, on the 31st, sustaining a blow to the abdomen. And it was unexpected. A fan came and hit him, because he had part of his show was that he would offer people incentives, rewards to go ahead and challenge him. And physically, he was just a physical specimen during the height of his career. And if you see posters of him, he was just a pretty fascinating guy physically, the things that he was able to do. And when you think about, also think about the showmanship that was involved. Imagine somebody coming out of manacles. He's handcuffed, he's in a straitjacket, and he's going to escape that. And it might take an hour, 2 hours. Now, okay, that in itself is a feat, but how do you grab the attention of people? I mean, think about it for a moment. Can you last 5-10 minutes watching a man come out of handcuffs for 10 minutes? No, I mean, come on. After 2 minutes, you go, okay, call me when it's over. But not so with Houdini. He somehow had a way of just grabbing the attention of people. And there's a lot of there's a lot of explanation for this. Just the suspense that he brought to it, it became a theatrical thing. And many times, you know, he was able to get out of these manacles, he was able to get out of these straitjackets much quicker, but for the suspense, it was almost like it was an orchestrated suspense, much like a Hitchcock movie. And it's interesting that Houdini, Hitchcock, all of these people that played off of that suspense, the thread that unites them all is a spirituality, which is not the spirituality we're usually talking about. It's the spirituality that comes about an intense understanding of your place within the cosmos, understanding your place within life. It's about engaging with the mystery that's all around you. And Houdini did an incredible job with this, with his escape acts. Alfred Hitchcock did an incredible job with his directing and bringing us to that point of terror and realizing that we are human, that we are finite, and what happens beyond this, what is that point? And you know, there's a whole psychology to this entire thing. But for our present discussion right now, I start off by talking about October 31st. Yes, it is a thought it leads for Harry Houdini, but that's the extent of which I'll talk about Harry Houdini today. We're talking about Halloween. It is a festival. It is a day that I have to say probably in the last 30, 40 years has gotten a lot more attention. I remember growing up in America, in Los Angeles specifically. Yeah, we'd have Halloween, but it wasn't done up the way it is today. There's no Halloween superstores. There wasn't the variety of different costumes, seductive, evil, overwhelming, over-the-top costuming. You'd usually go to the local store, which was the Thrifty. It was the precursor to Rite Aid or the Walgreens, CVS variety of stores, or even Target. You'd go into these stores and you'd buy a small little box which contained usually like a sheet that you'd put over yourself. And then the costume itself would be the mask that would go over your face. And it would mimic usually a comic book character. It might be a Mickey Mouse, a Casper the Ghost. It might be a Little Lulu. It might be a Superman, whatever it was. And this was the costume, and you'd go door to door, and they'd give you candy. And it was an exciting time. Now, you know, capitalism is wonderful. You know, it takes off, and wherever there's a buck to be made, it'll make that buck. And sure enough, you know, Halloween got exploited. It became bigger. It became a point of the movies. There was Halloween movies, Friday the 13th movies, which somehow came together with Halloween because of the spookiness of it and the fear. And when you talk about All Saints, All Souls, you're talking about people who have passed away. You're talking about skeletons and so on and so on and so on. Anyway, the connection is an easy one to make. And so what happened is many Christian groups came out straight out against it. No, no, no. Halloween, we will not celebrate it. Well, that's fine. It's picking and choosing what you want to celebrate, right? The early Christian community, what did St. Paul say? I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, concerning those who have fallen asleep in Christ. What is that word, fallen asleep? It means dead. I don't want you to be ignorant, because we do believe that there is a life after this. So he sets up the parameters for this. And we talk about eternal life, and there has to be something beyond this. Harry Houdini did the investigations. Physically, he couldn't find those investigations, and there's the big question mark in all of our heads. But it is something to discuss. And Halloween gives us that chance to talk about it. But no, capitalism drove that discussion, and we're making horror movies. We're making money off of that. And how about zombies? Yeah, zombies, remember? Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead. Ooh, zombies came into our life. People who were dead now come back to life. and it's big business right now. Zombie movies, zombie musicals, The Walking Dead. How about that? In fact, there's a very interesting connection with Walking Dead with a few things that I described earlier. I'll put a link on today's show notes. We won't digress, okay? You can check that out too. The Walking Dead. Okay, so all of this is out there, and Christian people have come out against it and said, no, this isn't good. And then there's the people who have understood that it's an opportunity, as yours truly, I've shared with you many times. Hey, this is an opportunity for us to talk about the main event, basically All Saints Day. Why aren't we talking about the saints? Okay, and I am so excited that just this week in the Armenian language, Father Manuk Markaryan has produced a small little video. It's about 4 or 5 minutes. I'll put a link on today's show notes. Do check that out. And he makes exactly that point. Okay, we're not here advocating, telling you, that you need to go out there and haunt people. We're not here to tell you that you shouldn't have fun. But if you're going to have fun, let's get back to the original. How about dressing up as some of the saints? Can you imagine going door to door as Saint Vartan? Going door to door as Saint Ashkin? Wow. Hey, who is that? Hey, I got an opportunity to talk about it. I could share some information with people, with my kids. What an opportunity. Get it? We have exploited people who have exploited us. Yeah, think about it. Hey, you've wanted to make money off of Halloween? Guess what? I'm going to use Halloween as an opportunity to promote what it was originally about. Wait, we don't think in these terms, do we? This is why I was saying earlier about that 3-year rule. People just don't get it. I think people have too much time. When you go beyond 3 years, you start developing new systems of logic. Let's take the ring off. Why? It's a blessed ring. It's blessed during a sacrament, a holy sacrament. It was blessed. You don't take that off. You don't make up a new theology. But we do that. And I heard it, sure enough. Just along the same lines. I mean, Father Manuk's video was so good. And I really encourage you to watch it. And I'm not going to put a link to this other guy. It was a priest from Armenia. He's just talking about, well, he's sitting in Armenia. And what do you think about Halloween? Well, Halloween shouldn't be done because it's the evils and all this. And you're just going, what is this? What is this? Just because you don't like it, just because you haven't had the time to check it out, you're just looking at pictures and seeing that people are dressing up as Satans, as evil. Okay, yeah, I'll admit that's there. Isn't there anything positive? Are we so weak that we're willing to just lay down and say, okay, you win. Halloween is yours. Or are we willing to be true champions of what our mission is about? what our ministry is about. And to me, that's what Halloween gives us. It gives us this chance to stand up, to say, you know what? This is my celebration. This is an opportunity for me to talk about saints. All Hallows, All Saints Day. Now, get ready for this, okay? You're wondering, how do you bring people to church? Isn't that like the ultimate conversation people have? We come to church and we don't understand anything. Okay, let me make it very clear. There is one song that everybody loves. It's a litany, actually. It's not even a song. It's a sort of like a duet between the deacon and the choir. In fact, it has nothing to do with the divine liturgy intricately. It's just a litany. It's a request. Okay? By that I mean that, and the proof of it is that many priests and bishops have actually cut that out. I mean, when they're strapped for time, they say, okay, we can do without it. I'm talking about that litany that comes just before the Lord's Prayer. It's more commonly called Amen Yevon Tokvit Kum, but it's that one that just has this beautiful melody. Amen Yevon Chautyan Nazderaha Chesuk. I mean, it's like kind of like romantic. But there is a line in there. Amen Ein Serpovk Zoras Hishadagetza Keva Zaravelabes. I mean, think about it. What is he saying? Yeah, okay, give me a nice one, okay?
Amen, I serve Zoros Ishadaketzak, Yevasarovela Bes, Astera Lachesu.
Beautiful. Listen to what it is. Amen, I serve by all the saints whom we have commemorated. Let us, moreover, ask of the Lord. Every Sunday, we're sitting there and we talk about all the saints that we have commemorated. Don't you think this is a perfect opportunity? Instead of like cutting down something that you know you can't because it is so intensely ingrained, and it's like, how do you bring down the giant? How do you bring down the giant? You're going to sit there and say, I'm going to throw pebbles and maybe, or do you hit it where it hurts? You hit it right between the eyes and you say, okay, you think you're going to stand there? I'll tell you what Amen Ein Serpovk is, All Saints is. It belongs in our liturgy. But see, we don't have that creativity. We don't have that ability. Instead, it's easier to bring it down than to lift up something that you do have. That's what the next step is about. That's what Armenian Orthodoxy is about. That's what Armadoxy is about. That's what we do here. That's why people react. That's why they stop me and they say, hey, listen, you've got something there. And that's what this ministry is about. It's about sharing something that we know we have. It's going, and as Christ says, you find the pearl and you sell everything that you have, so that you can acquire that pearl. We know we have that pearl. The kingdom of God is right now. And we know we have it. But we sell it. We shortchange it. We make up things that don't even mean anything. And we take off our ring because we're married to the congregation. You're not married to the congregation. Christ has given you that congregation. You're there as the servant to the congregation. You're there as a spouse to your wife, to your husband. Two different concepts. Don't add to it. But this is what we do. This is why I said that three-year limit has to be imposed somewhere. I'm going to write it into the Armadoxy treaty. Okay? Yeah, you're going to get to it. Anyway, I want to give you that as a prelude to Thanksgiving. And I think we have an opportunity because last week I heard a beautiful sermon by a local pastor. And he's from Africa. He's just serving locally here in Pasadena. And he talked about, he actually brought an onion to to church, and he used it not in the context of Halloween. He used it in the context of what the sermon message was. It was the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee going up to prayer. But I want to expand on that to the Halloween idea, the idea of masks. And this was really beautifully, he talked about the layers of an onion and unpeeling the onion. And I just thought to myself, what an opportunity for us to talk about the masks that are so prevalent in our lives and make that the theme of Halloween. As we look out into Halloween and we say, what is the instruction that's left for us as children of the church? It's to really inspect the masks that we wear. So many different masks, right? You have a mask as a husband, as a wife. You have a mask as a boyfriend. You have another mask as a girlfriend. You have a mask as a mother, as a child. You have a mask as a coworker, as a student, as a teacher. In other words, these are all different layers that we have, and we have multiple masks. Don't ever think that you're just one unique person. Actually, if you were that one unique, it'd be pretty boring, and you know you're not boring. You have many dimensions. And what I'm saying is that we have to really never lose sight of who we are under that mask. To find that, you start peeling that off. And the point that he made was just beautiful, that as you peel it off, what happens? You start crying. You start weeping. And that's what I wanted to share with you. As we start unveiling and taking off those different layers, we are there in a self inspection of our lives. And yeah, there is some hurt. There are some opportunities to cry, to weep. That's calling the regret. That's calling repentance. To look at what God has given us, how he created us. What are the layers that we put on? What are the layers that we need to jettison? What are some of those layers that we are happy with? These are all part of self-inspection, introspection. These are all part of the human condition and the spiritual life to which we're called as Christians, to look within and thereby improve ourselves so that we can look without, help without ourselves, outside of ourselves. So how about that as a Halloween message today? To look underneath those masks. Who are we? Are we brave enough to take those layers off? Are we brave enough that, yes, if we do peel it, we may cry. We may even find some hurt. But to deal with those hurts and understand that underneath there is this creation of God that is very special, unique, and created for the celebration of life. Happy Halloween. Here is Susie. She is dressed up to the hilt. I wish I could share a picture of her. But anyway, you got to see Susie today on Halloween Day. But here she is with her message. Yeah, with the piano player.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all your prayers, your support. I want to direct you to the show notes. Make sure you always go through the show notes. There's all kinds of links, all kinds of stuff that's happening. And also, check us out on all the socials. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And actually, there's a new project that I'm going to hopefully launch early next week on Instagram, and it should be mimicked on both Twitter and Facebook. It's going to be about the Armenia project that we did and the Susnashin. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, I'll be presenting an evening on Susnashin. That's November 12th. We'll look into maybe streaming that. Hopefully you'll be able to join if you're not in the Los Angeles area. Also, this Sunday here in America, I don't know elsewhere, where else, but I know in America definitely, we get to gain an hour. I love it. I love it for two reasons. First of all, I love gaining it some time. It's the most valuable thing. Yes, we come off of daylight savings time and we go back to standard time and we get this one extra hour. But the reason I really like it is because I hate the one that's in the spring. The one in spring, we go forward an hour and it happens to be on Sunday morning. So guess what? I'm in church 10 a.m. to do the divine liturgy. Everyone's clock in their head, on their wall, on their wrist, says 9 o'clock. So I start at 10 o'clock. I finish my liturgy at 11:30. In their mind, it's 10:30 and they're showing up to church. Hey, what happened to church? It's finished. It's finished. I hate that one. I really hate that one. But this time, this Sunday, oh, I get that hour back. Now, look at it as a parish priest. Look at it as a pastor. Oh, that means you show up at 10 o'clock to start the service. People who usually traditionally come late at 11 o'clock, guess what? They're there at 10 o'clock. And they're going, oh, you're late, aren't you? No, 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 I'm on time. You happen to be on time because you think you're late. Get it? Anyway, it's a wild experience, and it happens this Sunday. This Sunday, I'll be at the Holy Apostles Church in Tujunga, California. If you're around, I'd love to see you. Listen, that about does it for our show today. I want to wish you a happy Halloween, a happy Hallows Eve, a happy opportunity to look at the life that's within you and to celebrate the saints. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Boss again, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take care. Rascal.